so into that song, I didn't realize I was supposed to come up here.
That was a good job, guys. All right, we'll be in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Matthew 1, 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now there's a prophecy of what they're to call the boy, and his name's going to be Jesus. And I want to preach about the name of Jesus. Now, people automatically associate some thoughts and some things whenever you say a name, and you can't help it. I mean, it might be something you just read or you might have heard or seen or maybe knew personally, but whenever someone says a name, you're going to think of something. If I say the name Abraham Lincoln, you think of something. And I'm not saying good or bad. It doesn't matter. Some of you might think good. Some of you might think bad. I mean, I was talking to a little boy not too long ago, and I said, who do you think the greatest president of the United States was? And he said, Abraham Lincoln. He didn't even stop. Just Abraham Lincoln. Well, someone told him the guy was, you know, a great president. Yeah. The kid didn't know that on his own. So he thought of something, and I've been in Washington, D.C., and there's a big monument there with Abraham Lincoln sitting on a big chair and all these pillars in front of him, big monument to the guy. Somebody thought he was good enough to make a monument to him. And I'm not saying he's good or bad. I'm just saying when you say a name, there's something associated with it. When you say the name Martin Luther King, you think of something. Yep. Some of you are worried I'm going to say something. Don't worry. Just somebody thought enough of him to put a stone of hope in Potomac Park recently, and I don't know if it's a black granite or whether it's what color it is, but it's something. Somebody, you know, that name is associated with something. Some people say he was a great man of peace and freed a lot of blacks, and some say he was a communist, and there's all kinds of thoughts with that name. Pope John Paul II, you say the name and you can't help think of something. I mean, millions of Catholics think Holy Father when they hear that name. So it's every name's like that. Buddha. Back when I was in school, when we were coming through high school, they'd give us this little book, and all the college kids got it. It's a little book called Siddhartha, and that influenced hundreds of thousands of American college students with this great man called Buddha. And, you know, he was such a man of peace and tried to sway literally millions of people. The name's associated with something. I mean, I think certain things when I think of Buddha. I've read some things on them, and so I have some thoughts with it. If I say the name JFK, you think of some things. My mother used to collect that. We're all from Massachusetts, and that's a Kennedy state. And my mother used to collect everything about the Kennedys, and I remember seeing magazines on Camelot and all that stuff. And if you really want another... truth of it, read The Dark Side of Camelot, or maybe you shouldn't, because there's some pretty graphic stuff in there. But there's some things associated with any name you bring up. Now, the sad thing is most Americans and most Christians are as sheep to the slaughter, and they just listen to the media, and they follow what the media tells them to think, and they all think certain things. And that's why when we try and preach the truth, Americans are just taken aback by it, because they've been fed with this stuff all the time. We're in, was it Paris? Yeah, Paris. And we're going down this street, and this bus driver stops and points and says, look to your left, and down under there there's a little tunnel passageway or something. And he said, we're going to have a moment of silence for that's where Diana was killed, Princess Diana. And I turned to my family and I said, we're not keeping quiet for that woman. It's not worth keeping quiet for. Yeah. Now, see, that I've said that in the pulpit before. And people say, oh, you know, because that's Princess Di. She was a great woman. What was great about a woman running around on her husband? Yeah. I know her husband was no good, too, but don't tell me that's something I want my girls looking up to. You're not going to tell me how to think. Yeah. See, they're always trying to program you. And they're not going to program me. I got a Bible that gives me light and shows me what to think. I can take all those names I've already mentioned, and I know how to make a judgment on every one of them with a book. I love sports all my life. All those sports figures, any name you want to name, I know how to judge them right away. If there's somebody that's very exalted and looked upon highly, I can automatically just say they're a bum. They're no good. And some of you that offends you, maybe, I don't know. But the Bible says that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Yeah. So Michael Jordan's a great man. He must be a bum. And I know that's a fact from experience as well as from the Bible. And when the world is always giving a guy a big name and giving him a microphone and everybody wants to hear what he has to say, he's got to be a bum. Amen. And there's always going to be somebody in the background that they won't talk to and won't let have the microphone because he's going to say something about Jesus Christ. Back in those days when Michael Jordan was playing, there was a guy named A.C. Green. And he was a great basketball player. Now, he wasn't a great scorer like Jordan was, but he was a great rebounder. And they wouldn't give that guy the microphone. You know why? He was a saved man. A saved black man to go around telling his own people, you don't have to fornicate. And that's coming from a guy who would come out of the Los Angeles Forum with women throwing their hotel keys at him and saying, come to my room tonight. And he didn't. And he said, you can abstain and you can do right. And he'd preach the gospel to his own people. And so they never gave him a microphone, but they'd give it to Michael Jordan. I was in a youth camp years ago in North Carolina where Michael Jordan supposedly was saved when he was 14 years old. And he might have been, but you'd never know it by listening to him. He never mentioned Jesus Christ. I've read his stuff where he wrote a thing on his life. He doesn't even mention being saved. Doesn't even mention the name of Jesus Christ. That's a bum. If he is saved, he's a sorry Christian. And that's because I have a book to judge things. Now, when I say the name of Jesus Christ, verse 21 says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, you're going to have certain thoughts. And if you've never met him, you might think, well, that's some religious guy, that's some really nice guy, and, you know, he was a holy man or a religious leader, or you might have all kinds of thoughts, but you might even hate his name, I don't know. But like I was saying the other night, most people just imagine a Jesus Christ of their own imagination. They make up this idea of what they think he was like. And many people just think Jesus Christ was a very soft-spoken man, and he held his hands this way, and you know, had this long flowing hair and this white robe that he walked around in, this bright white robe, and he'd say, blessed are the poor in spirit. And he talked probably with a little lisp, maybe, I don't know, and I was just this, you know, soft-spoken, quiet, nice man, maybe a Joel Osteen type of thing, always smiling and, you know, flashing his white teeth and his pretty hairdo and all that stuff, and wouldn't hurt a fly. You know what the Bible says about this man? It says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. The government of what? The whole world. That's not some soft-spoken sissy. He's going to control the whole world. And he's going to land on this earth, and he's going to take the government upon his shoulder. He better not be a sissy. Jesus Christ was a real man. The Bible says, look at Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? That doesn't sound like some sissy religious leader. Gathering the wind in his fists? Tell me his name. Well, the next verse says, every word of God is pure. He's the word of God. That's his name. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Capital W, that's Jesus Christ. Gathering the wind in his fists, establishing all the ends of the earth, bound the waters in a garment. He's got some power. He's not some sissy religious leader. Now, I'm going to say a few things about this name, Jesus. It's a name that's above every name. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
And so I want to say a few things about this name. And the first thing I want to say is it's an easy name. You say, why are we starting there? That sounds strange. Because think about it, just two syllables, Jesus. That's an easy name. You know, that's a name I can go into a nursing home and sit there with a 95-year-old woman and give her that name. It's an easy name. You can go into a little nursery school with 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds and give them that name. It's an easy name. I mean, it could have been worse. I mean, what is Benjamin named his kids Muppin and Huppin? How'd you like to go in with that now? How about Isaiah's son's name, Maller Haller Shasbaz? Going and tell some little kid, now you call on this name if you get in trouble. Maller Haller Shasbaz. No, it's an easy name. It could have even been worse. It could have been a German name. Friedrich. Heinrich. Like you're clearing a hawker out of your throat or something. It's an easy name. That Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you call on him with your mouth. It's an easy name. Thank God it's easy. Man, you talk about someone stupid. I was stupid. I mean, you talk about a blank. I was a blank when I was 21 years old. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about life. I never read any books. I was just, every time I could get out of reading a book in school, I got out of it. I had some friends, I'd pay them, and they'd write some book reports for me to get through English. I'd go to the basketball, to the gym and play basketball. I'd get a pass to get out of English class and go shoot baskets in the gym. Well, I had an English teacher, she was so out of it, she must have been 85 years old or something, at least she looked like it. And I remember I'd just go up with a pass, and I'd write out, Brian Donovan is allowed to go to Vietnam, and she'd sign it. And I'd go to the gym with a pass of Vietnam. That's how much she paid attention. But you know what that meant? That means I was going all the way through high school just a total blank. Didn't know anything. I got saved, and when I got saved, the Lord gave me a love for reading, and I started reading this book, and I started learning some things.
Amen.
And I thank God, because when I was in that darkness and in just my stupidity and my wickedness and my sin, it was easy to get saved. And I'm glad it wasn't hard, because I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Yeah.
He made it easy with an easy name. It didn't take 4-year course of study to get saved.
Amen.
I didn't have to go to college. I didn't have to even go back to my high school English class. It's just Jesus.
Amen.
You say, what if I'm Buddhist? The name's Jesus.
Amen.
What if I'm Muslim? It's not Muhammad. It's not Allah. It's Jesus.
Amen.
I say, what if I'm a black man? It's Jesus. What if I'm a white man? It's Jesus. What if I'm Polish? I'll say it slower for you. It's Jesus. Now, it's an easy name. And any of you in here that you got saved, you know it was easy to get saved. Because he did all the work. And thank God for that. I'm glad it's easy to be saved with an easy name. Secondly, I want to say this. It's a beautiful name. Look at Matthew chapter 1 where we were. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And she shall bring forth the son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. That's what his name means. Jehovah saves. That's why it's a beautiful name. You know why? He saves from your sins. And you'd have to know him personally and be one of his children to know it's a beautiful name. Well, we were just talking about it being raised Catholic. I knew the name of Jesus, but I didn't know him. I used to pray to Mary all the time. And St. Joseph and St. Anne and anybody but Jesus. We were taught you can't go to Jesus Christ. You have to go through someone else. And you had all these things. I did everything that Catholic priest told me to do. And I still didn't think that was a beautiful name. I used to fear God. I still do, but not the same way. I'm not worried about going to hell now. My brother and I go to confession on Saturday and go tell a priest all our sins. He'd give us our penance to say. And we'd go walking home. And I remember saying to him one time, of course, just a young boy, not knowing anything, just and thought, man, we just got rid of our sins. And I said, you know, as we're walking home, now's a good time to get hit by a car and die. Because I thought, I just got rid of my sins. And I knew what was coming tomorrow. I was going to start loading sins on me again. I was going to do wrong. And I worried, what happens to me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday if I die? Yeah. And I never knew. You know why? I didn't know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a beautiful name. And if you've had the darkness of sin and the filth of this world on you, and you know what it's like for him to come in there and clean all that out and give you purity, you'll know it's a beautiful name.
Amen.
And it is a beautiful name. The Bible says in Isaiah, there's no beauty that we should desire him. When Jesus Christ came down as a man, if anyone would look at him, they wouldn't say be attracted to him. There was no beauty. Physically, he came down as a Jew and walked these dusty roads and got dirty and smelly and sweaty, and there was nothing beautiful about him physically. But boy, when he raised from the dead and come and save you from your sins, it becomes a beautiful name. I remember going to bed at night worried about my sins, wondering what was going to happen to me. I know what it was like to put my head on that pillow with no peace and just worried, man, after what I've been doing, how am I going to get to God? And then him come into that room and save me one night.
Amen.
And since that night, I have never put my head on that pillow worried about God putting me in hell. As a Roman Catholic, doing everything they told me to do, I just pictured God with this baseball bat just waiting for me to beat on me. And that's not my vision of God at all now from the Bible. You know why? Because since Jesus Christ came and saved me, I found it's a beautiful name. Salvation's a beautiful thing. Jesus Christ steps in. You know, when a man doesn't know, a man or a woman doesn't know that name isn't beautiful at all. When they haven't been saved, they don't know how beautiful that name is. As a matter of fact, all the guys I knew treated it like a cuss word. They would spit it out of their mouth, and I used to, just from being around it all the time. And I remember the day after I got saved, well, a couple days after I got saved, I went back to work Monday morning and went out in that factory, and all of a sudden there was all this filthiness flying in the air. It wasn't there before. I was part of it. And I hear someone say, Jesus Christ. Man, just all of a sudden it went through me. I could never say it like that again from getting saved. And I didn't know any Bible. I just knew I got saved. I knew he came in there and saved me from my sins. And it was a beautiful name to me. I couldn't use it as a curse word anymore. You know why? Because I found out who he was. And it's used that way in the factories today. It's used that way in the offices. It's used everywhere that way. But when you know him and you've had some real troubles or some real failures and you know what it's like to kneel down and say, Jesus, here I am again. I need some help again. I need you to forgive me again. That's a beautiful name.
Amen.
And over again, how many times you've had to go to him and confess something to him and say, I'm sorry, and he comes down there and puts his arm around you and takes you back. That's a beautiful name.
Amen.
And it'll mean something to you. It'll mean something it never meant to you before you were saved. Only Jesus is a name that can take a lonely, wicked sinner and join him with God and give him peace. And that's a beautiful thing. Father can look down on me as a disobedient son in anger, and by going to Jesus Christ, I can get the wrath of God taken away. And I deserve the wrath of God. But because of that beautiful name, Jesus Christ stood between me and that wrath, and he hung on that cross, and God poured his wrath out on him that I should have got, and he took it for me, and he stepped in for me, and that becomes a beautiful name. You know, Jesus told his disciples one time, he said, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. But you know what he tells them? From now on, you go to the Father, you ask in my name. And I know, you know, I think a lot of times we just do that as kind of like a habit, and we don't even really think about it. We just close in Jesus' name. And I'm not saying it's wrong but to say it that way, but it's wrong to think of it that way, that it's just some kind of ritual that you do. You're going to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know what I like to do when I'm talking to the Lord? I like to say, now, Lord, I'm coming up before you. Instead of just closing in the words in Jesus' name, I say, now, Lord, I'm coming to you because of Jesus Christ. And the only reason I can come boldly into your throne and even talk to you is because of that name. and it weren't for him saving me, I have no access to that throne. I have no access to even talk to God. What he, like we saw in Sunday school this morning, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You shouldn't be troubled if you know that name. You don't have to be troubled if you know that name. And if you don't see it as a beautiful name, I know something about you. You don't know him. You've never found that beauty of forgiveness and salvation. And that's a great thing. It's a beautiful name. It's an easy name. It's a beautiful name. But that isn't all. It's a powerful name. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, in speaking about Jesus, "For by him were all things created." Jesus Christ created everything. You talk about having some power. You ever look at the sun and you have to turn your eyes away from it? You can't stare right at it. And he made that. And your eyes can't even handle the something he made? Imagine how powerful he must be. I mean, scientists try and study all this stuff, and they guess at how hot the center of the sun might be. They don't really know, but they talk about how powerful that thing is, losing tons of matter all the time. Just, and it's still there, and it's going to be there until he tells it to go out, until he puts it out. That's some powerful star sitting there, and that's just one of who knows how many he made, and he made it. "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." That is, everything's held together by Jesus Christ. You know, I just look at this world, just this earth right here, and I think of how much power it is to make something like that. You know, I don't do it anymore, but I used to go in the gym and try and get a little exercise. And I'd go in there, and these guys, the first thing, "How much can you bench?" Like that means something. I never could figure out why the bench press was a measure of a man. I mean, how many times are you going to be in life you're going to have to push something from here to here? I mean, I guess if you're a mechanic and the car falls on you, you might have to lift a couple thousand pounds off your chest. But there's very few times in life you're going to be going, and that's it. But that's, these guys get in there, and this guy goes over, "Hey, can you help spot me on this weight?" And I look at this weight, and he's got like five huge plates on each side. I said, "I ain't spotting you on that. If that thing goes down, I ain't getting it back off your chest." And these guys bench press 400 and 500 and who knows what they're up to now, 700, 800, 900 pounds. I think a record is like 1,000 pounds now they bench. Those guys stand in the mirror and they look at themselves and they get these big necks and these big arms. And I told one guy one time, he's staring himself in the mirror, and I said, "You know, it's kind of funny." I said, "My Savior made a tree in my backyard. You can't even move." Just one tree. You can go up to the tree in my backyard and go, you'll blow all the air out of your lungs you want. You're not moving that thing. And my Savior made that, just one tree, let alone this whole earth. I mean, the mountains and the rivers, the power in Niagara Falls, and you go to the end of the Amazon, and billions of gallons of water are gushing out of that thing. And the Lord did that. Jesus Christ did that. That's some power. I mean, we can't even fathom that kind of power. And we're just talking just on this earth, let alone the whole universe being held together by him. Men instinctively know that it's a powerful name, but really not to the extent that it is. I mean, like I said, they use it as a curse word. Why? Because they know there's power in it. That's why they curse in that name. I've been working construction jobs. I've seen a guy smack his thumb, and I didn't hear him say, "Oh, Buddha." They don't use that name. They don't use, say, "Oh, Muhammad." They don't say, "Allah." They don't. When they want to use a powerful name, they use the name of Jesus Christ. They instinctively know it is. The sun and the moon and the stars answer to that name. That sun goes to bed when he tells it to go to bed. And it comes up in the morning when he tells it. It's a powerful name. You know, in the Old Testament, there was that awful disease of leprosy. What a horrible thing. And there's two whole chapters in Leviticus 13 and 14 showing you how awful that thing is. And I've seen it over in Thailand and been around some of those lepers and seen where they're nothing left but nubs on all their fingers and a nose completely gone and maybe blinded and just open sores and just a horrible disease. And, you know, nobody can do anything about it. To this day, they still can't do anything about it. And the Old Testament, that Old Testament priest was said, hey, you see something on a guy and it looks like this, you shut him up for 7 days. When he comes out, if it looks like this, then you can declare him clean. But if it looks like this, you get him out of camp because he's unclean. But you notice something? The priest couldn't do anything about it. All he could do was go by the rules God laid down and say, you're clean or you're not. But he couldn't make the guy clean. Nothing a leper just had to leave and get out of camp. Because nobody could do anything for him. You know what? That's a picture of sin. And sin is a horrible disease. Just like leprosy, it always starts small. It never starts big. A leper doesn't wake up one morning and his fingers are gone. It's a very slow-acting thing. And eventually, part of his finger just falls off. It's a horrible thing. But it's small. It always starts small. And then it they don't even know how it starts. It starts somewhere underneath the skin, and it might just pop out on the arm. It might pop out on the face. It might be on your neck or your back. It just, that's sin. Just pops up, always small, but it never stops. And it's deadly.
Amen.
And leprosy is a deadly disease. And one time, 10 men were out there by the side of the road, and they heard about Jesus coming by, and they cried out to him, said, Jesus, have mercy on us. And he says, go show yourselves to the priest. Oh, strange thing to say. Imagine all 10 of those men started walking toward the priest and go find the priest and said, what's he going to do? He can't do anything for me. He's already told me I got to stay out here by the road. I can't even go into the city. Go see the priest. But they all did what they were told, and they start walking toward the thing, probably murmuring and griping and, man, we're going to get to a priest, and he's going to say, I can't do anything for you. And then one of them looks down and says, my fingers came back. My nose is there. I'm healed. Look at my flesh. And those guys started jumping around, and one guy,
amen,
decided to run back and thank him for it. What was it? That's some power.
Yeah.
That the power that he had, all he just said, go show yourselves to the priest, knowing that he's healing them. Before they get there.
Amen.
And only Jesus Christ can heal the leprosy of sin.
Amen.
A woman spent all that she had on physicians and for years and years just got sicker and sicker and sicker. How many people know about that today? If people want good health, they'll do anything for it. They'll pay anything for it. I heard some thing they're coming out to try and help people with a certain kind of cancer, and for three treatments it costs $93,000.
Wow.
To go to the doctor three times, and people are paying it. Insurance companies are paying it. You know why? They want to live. They want to stay alive. And this poor woman, the Bible says, she spent all that she had and nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And she said, I heard about that man Jesus. You know, he's a great man, a powerful man. And I heard he can raise the dead and heal people. I'll bet he could heal me. But you know what? He's so holy and he's so powerful. I don't even deserve to go up and ask him. But if I could just touch just the hem of his garment, I could be all right. And she heard he was coming by, and she got down in the dirt. And maybe between somebody's legs as he went by, she reached out without him even make an eye contact with her, and she reached out and grabbed the hem of his garment, and she was made whole just like that. That's some power.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ stopped and said, who touched me?
Yeah.
Peter said, everybody's touching you. We're getting bounced all around by this crowd. What do you mean? No, somebody just touched me in a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, it's that showing me that if a sinner will call out to Jesus Christ, he stops everything he's doing and he'll save you.
Amen.
Just like that. Somebody touch me. You know why? Because he's got the power to do something about it. A man sick of the palsy was paralyzed, laying on his bed, couldn't even get around, and his friend said, if we get him to Jesus, he'd be all right. And they carry their friend all the way to get him to Jesus Christ. on his bed, and they carry him on that thing and get there, and they can't even get near him because there's so many people around the house. The press is just all over the place. And he, and they say, hey, let's get up on the roof there. They cut a hole in the roof, and they let him down by ropes just to get him right where Jesus is. And Jesus looks at that and marvels at their faith and says, take up thy bed and walk. And he says, your sins are forgiven you. And you know, he tells the Pharisee, he's got so much power, he says, it's nothing to tell a guy to take up his bed and walk. Anyone can do that. But that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to him, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That's powerful. It's a powerful name, and it's a name that I can take to any sinner. I don't care what he's done. I don't care where he's been. I don't care how dirty they are. I can tell them that name. And it works. I know a lot of people don't believe it, but a murderer can be forgiven. A rapist can be forgiven. A pervert can be forgiven. Now, I'm not saying there aren't consequences to those sins. There's consequence to every sin. But it doesn't matter. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us from all sin. And I know some murderers that have been forgiven. And they're saved. And they're on their way to heaven. That's how powerful this name is. You know what he said? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Man, that takes some power. You know, can you imagine me saying that? I mean, there's just a few people in this room, but even just a few people in this room. What if I were to say this morning, I don't care what your problem is, after the service you see me, I'm going to take care of it. Financial, health, kids, family, doesn't matter. Just tell me what it is. I'll fix it. You ought to sit there laughing at that thought. I can't even fix my own problems. But he can. He has the power to say to anybody, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. You know what he says to that murderer? Come to me. I'll give you rest. You know what he says to that rapist? I'll forgive you. Come to me. I have power to do it. You know what he says to you? I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you're going to do. I can forgive you. Rich or poor, young or old, hardened hearts or soft hearts, doesn't matter. He'll forgive you because he's got power. And then I want to say this. It's an incomparable name. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 32. Well, it's verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. There's no world ruler, king, queen, or any monarch that can be compared to this name. There's no kingdom like this. They all go, they all pass. Even the good ones pass. They can't last. His kingdom's forever. That's an incomparable king. It's an incomparable name. You all remember Conrad of Germany? You forgot him? He was a great leader. Great kingdom he had one time. Gone. You ever read Percy Bysshe Shelley's poem about Ozymandias? That statue out there, look, it has a plaque on it that says, look, ye mighty in despair, and he's bragging about his kingdom, and then you look out and there's nothing but sand has just blown over his statue and his kingdom and everything. Gone. They don't last. Henry VIII, Elizabeth I, good or bad, doesn't matter. They're gone. But not him. His kingdom's forever. They all pass away. They're all sinners who drop dead. And his name is preserved in thousands of songs. We're singing them this morning. A couple thousand years after he left the scene, we're still singing about him. I was taking our youth group one time up through Ohio, and we came under this viaduct where kids always put graffiti, and one of them, big letters in black paint, said, Clapton is God. And one of the kids said to me, who's Clapton? I said, he's God. You don't know who Clapton is? Just one generation later, they don't know who Eric Clapton is. The greatest guitarist there ever was. Guy used to pop acid before all his concerts. Clapton is God. the Beatles claim to be more popular than Jesus Christ. Ask a teenager to name the four Beatles to you.
Yeah.
They can't do it. Oh, you might find one once in a while, but we're only talking about 50 years later. 50 years and you forgot them already? Well, they're not more popular than Jesus Christ.
Maybe.
Go over to Africa and say, give me, who's the drummer of the Beatles? Go over to Africa and tell them about Jesus Christ. They know that name.
Yeah.
That name is an incomparable name. His kingdom will last forever. You know, when I was growing up, my dad used to try and instill some pride in us. And, of course, he was a lost man, and he'd say, don't you ever, one time I said, I can't do that, Dad. And he said, don't you ever say that. Don't you ever say I can't. Your name's Donovan. That sounds so funny to me now. But I remember as a kid saying, I'm Donovan. I can do it. And that's what he's trying to get at me. But that's pretty funny. You can because your name's Donovan? Are you kidding? That doesn't mean anything. That name doesn't mean a thing. But the name of Jesus Christ does. It's an incomparable name. And then come to John chapter 15. I want to say this. It's a hated name. John chapter 15. And verse 18. And Jesus Christ talking to his disciples. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world will love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So Jesus Christ warned his disciples they were going to be hated. But you know what he said? They're only going to hate you because of my name. And boy, have I found that out. You can make some real enemies that has nothing to do with you. I've sat in an airplane and always try and witness to the guy that's going to be sitting next to me. And guy gets in there and he sits down. He's a good old Southern boy, real friendly. He starts talking. I had a magazine on hunting. I don't even know the name of it, but I just picked up one in the airport there on deer hunting. He goes, oh, you're a deer hunter? Just, man, there goes the conversation. Just talking away about deer and just, you know, friendly as could be. And I said, halfway through that conversation, he's just buzzing away for 10 minutes, just talking about everything he knew about deer hunting. And I said, something about Jesus Christ. And that guy took a newspaper. When I said the name of Jesus Christ, he took a newspaper and put it between us and started reading the paper. All I did was mention Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Just that name does it. That name is what does it. You know, people really don't care what you believe. They really don't. What they hate is Jesus Christ. I mean, you stand out at a street corner and hold up a magazine, people just go by and just, they could care less. But hold up a Bible. That represents Jesus Christ. And hold up a Bible and watch him go ballistic. Man, I've gone through New York City, and every wacko in the world is in New York City. And you'll see guys stand, I've seen guys with their hands in their pockets looking up at the skyscrapers just screaming something incoherently, just out of it, probably on drugs or something. And people walk by them, it doesn't even faze them. They're used to it. And they just walk by this guy. He's just like oblivious. There's a lot of loose people out there that shouldn't be loose. And he's up there just, and people just, they don't even look at him. They don't say, shut up. They don't say nothing to him. I said, man, this is a good place to preach. And I get on the street corner and hold up a Bible and it, shut up, you idiot. Jesus Christ didn't talk like that. He was nice. And I get all kinds of reactions. How come? It ain't because of me. I'm nobody. They're not mad at me. They hate Jesus Christ. It's a hated name. And you know why they hate it? Because they don't know him. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Why would you hate somebody that takes away the sin of the world?
Amen.
Why would you hate somebody like that? It's a hated name. Peter says, who in his own self bear our sins in his body on the tree. How could you hate somebody that take your sins off of you and put them in on himself? How could you hate someone like that? Because they don't know. That's why. They hate a name. They don't even know why they hate them. John the apostle said, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's no one to hate. But boy, do they hate him. And if you've never received him, I'm going to confess to you right now, he's my Savior, he's my pardon, he's my peace, he's my hope, and he's a beautiful Savior. The world hates that beautiful name. But I've got to warn you, and I'm sure I'm speaking to mostly saved people, if not all, but that's all right. We need to appreciate what he's done for us. But one day, that beautiful Savior is coming back, and he's not coming back as a Savior. He's coming back to rule as a king. And he's not coming back saying, I'm the one you're looking for. Go ahead and arrest me. He's not coming back as a lamb to the slaughter. He's coming back as a powerful king to rule this world. And he's not going to ask anybody's permission.
Amen.
And he's not going to say, will you please receive me? He's not going to open his arms like they are now and say, come unto me. He's going to wipe people out. Because he's been looking on his name being spit on for years and years and years. And he's let it go in his long suffering. And God so loved the world, he'd give him his best, his son for you. And he's let it go and let it go, but he's not going to keep letting it go.
Amen.
And one day those open arms are going to shut. And when they shut, you have no more chance. And he's not going to ask anybody anything. Jesus Christ of the Bible is not the Jesus Christ that's preached. In one sermon, seven times he said, ye hypocrites, ye hypocrites. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. One time they said to him, give us a sign. He's already given them plenty of signs. Give us a sign. He said, you hypocrites. You look at the sun and the signs of the sky, and you can tell when it's going to rain and when it's not going to rain, but you can't discern the time of times, the sign of the times. You hypocrites. That's how he spoke to people. One time he healed somebody, and the ruler of the synagogue, I mean big shot, said, you ought not be doing that on the Sabbath. He said, you hypocrite, right to his face. The religious leader, you hypocrite. That's how Jesus Christ spoke. When this Jesus of the Bible returns, he's going to demand a payment. And you're not going to be able to produce it if you're not saved. You can't make the payment for your sins. So he's going to throw you in hell. And he's not going to ask you anything. Going to be too late to give you a chance then. Your chance is now. Today is a day of salvation. And you can hate that name and regurgitate all that foolishness all you want and act tough all you want. That's why I see guys go by. I feel sorry for them. I'll be preaching on a street and they yell out something trying to act tough. I don't yell back at them. I just tell them I'll see you at the judgment. I feel sorry for them because their mouths are going to be shut then. I had some college kids pull in front of me. I'm at a light, I'm at a corner, and a car pulls up like this close to me. I'm right on the curb, and the car is right there in the first lane, and it's a red light, and the windows are open, and here's four college kids, all about 19 to 21 years old, and I'm preaching right into their car, right at them, and the boy that's in the back seat closest to me, we're like 5 feet away from each other. I'm saying, hey, I'm over here. He's looking straight forward like this. I said, hey, I'm over here. I want to tell you something. Look at me. I want to tell you about Jesus. And he just frozen like this. Won't move. And so I just give him the gospel. And when the light turns green, all four of them turn and flip me the finger as they're pulling up, peeling rubber. Yeah. We're real tough, aren't you? I'm saying, hey, come on, look at me now. And they won't look at me. And they're pulling away and they're giving me the finger. I feel sorry for them. They're going to answer for that. Men try and act tough now. They won't act tough in that day. And that's why they act tough now. I don't know who this guy is, but I wrote down the quote that I read about him. MSNBC, whatever that is. Guess some station. His name is Chris Matthews. He said, the book of Revelation is a piece of fiction describing a truly vicious God. Right now, no half-smart religious person believes the book of Revelation. Why would Chris Matthews say that? What's in the book of Revelation he doesn't like? I wonder if it's, I saw the small and dead stand before God and the books were opened. I wonder if Chris Matthews knows instinctively he's going to give an account to a holy God. And so he tries to talk tough. No half-smart person would believe the book of Revelation. You mean you're going to stand before God? That's what men hate. You're going to give an account to Jesus Christ? Yes, you are. And men don't like that idea. There's judgment coming. That Bible says, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And men just hate that thought. That's got to be a vicious God that would burn anybody. Hey, it's a holy God, number one. Number two, it's a merciful God that has his arms open to you, and you're just cussing out his son.
Amen.
And he's just supposed to say, oh, no big deal. You think he's some saphead like you? Well, he's not like you.
Amen.
He's holy. And you spit on his son, and your sins put him on that cross, and you don't do something about that by receiving him, admitting you're wrong, you're going to pay. And you're making that choice, not him. There's judgment coming. Jesus Christ. It's a great name. It's a beautiful name. I'm so glad. Boy, I think about it sometimes. I can't believe that I know him personally. It's a miracle that someone like me could know him. After the way I lived. After just the darkness I was in. You know, I see it once in a while when I go back home and I see some old friends or I see my family and I realize, man, I really was that stupid. I see them do something and I look at them and I say, that was me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that should be me. For the grace of God, it would be me. I'll see my sister or my brother and they walk into the room like they're important. like what they have to say means something. I said, that was me. I thought that highly of myself. Just in total darkness. Just wicked as could be. And they're, and they talk like that. You say, well, that's how you talk. Yeah, but I got a book. My opinion doesn't matter. I don't walk into a room thinking I'm anything. I know what I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I thank God that I know Jesus Christ. And I'm sure you do here this morning, too, and I hope every one of you does. And if you do, you know it's a beautiful name. And thank God it's an easy name. And it's a powerful name. He can hold us up, and he will, right to the end and get us through. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for who you are, as well as what you did. And I thank you that I can pray in your name. I thank you that I can say I know you. And Father, I can come to you as a son because of what you did for me. I'm so glad, Lord, thinking back on the darkness I was in, that you sent someone by my way with a Bible. And you put a big stop sign in front of my path and you showed me how wrong I was. And I'm so glad, Lord. I think of what you pulled me out of. I think of the heritage that I had with nothing but Roman Catholics on both sides, all in darkness, and I was one of them. And you just pulled me out of that. And you set my feet on a solid rock, and you give me light. You give me your son. And I'm so thankful I can call on his name, and I can say I know him. And it sure is a beautiful name. And Lord, I shudder to think of how close I was to having to give an account without knowing you as my Savior. Give an account for using that name as a curse word, spitting out of my mouth in hatred, not having the sense to know what I was doing. Lord, thank you for showing me what a beautiful Savior you are, what a beautiful name you have, and how many times since that night I've come to you and gotten forgiveness, and you've pulled me up again when I didn't deserve it, and you've been merciful and long-suffering with me when I don't deserve it, and it's all because of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for it. Help us to appreciate you more, Lord, and help your people to think on this thought this morning of what a beautiful name the name of Jesus is. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And God forbid if there's one amongst us that doesn't know you as their Savior, they walk out of here still lost, not taking advantage of open arms that are calling them to forgiveness. And that's what's going to send them to hell, rejecting that forgiveness. And Lord, thank you for being so good to us. Thank you, Father, that we can come to your throne boldly, right up to the throne of grace, because of the blessed name of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.